go again. Yep. Today's episode is going to be an interesting one, I have a feeling.
And I tell you what, so we're going to be, well, I guess we'll just throw it out there. We're going to be talking about homosexuality. Mm. And I think what really got Jeff and I talking about this subject, other than it's crammed down your throat every single day in some way, shape, or form. Are we still in Pride Month? We are, aren't we?
I think so.
I think June is Pride Month, and we're still in it. I think I even saw where PayPal, their logo is now a rainbow for this month. So what really got Jeff and I talking was this Revoice conference that's coming up. And we kind of saw it, and it's a bit confusing because the PCA, that's the Presbyterian Church of America, is holding this conference, and I believe it's in St. Louis. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's in St. Louis, and this is what's so concerning is we're looking at the PCA, and the PCA is the Presbyterian Church of America, and it is the conservative branch of the Presbyterian Church. The Presbyterian Church is pretty much split. Yeah, the PCA, which is conservative, and then you have the PCUSA, which is extremely liberal, in the sense that I believe now they also have female pastors, gay affirming. So if this Revoice conference would have been linked to the PCUSA, this wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But considering it's the PCA, it's it is concerning. And then I think Matt Chandler is promoting
this
conference. And there was another big name, and I cannot remember for the life of me. I think I messed up last week and said Platt, but I don't think it was David Platt.
No. We'll find it before the end of the episode.
Yeah, I kind of blew it on that one, so I apologize. Last week I spoke out of my head. It wasn't David Platt, but I do know Matt Chandler is endorsing this conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go ahead and say this from the beginning. We do not hate homosexuals. I want people out there to know that straight up from the get-go. We do not hate homosexuals. We actually, we care for them. We love them enough to tell them the truth.
Yes.
I think it would be more hateful on our end if we know the truth and what the scripture has laid out for us, and we don't say anything about it to our friends, to our family members who are gay or lesbian or whatever other initial you want to use. I think it's just extremely cruel to have the truth and not to say a single word about it. That's just downright mean. So what we're saying this out of love. We're saying this to warn. We're saying this as one sinner to another sinner, that, you know, you need to hear this truth.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that you're a sinner. The lifestyle that you're living in is a sin. But there's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and paid that sin debt in full for you if you believe in what Christ did that day on the cross. That's the good news. That's the gospel. There's no strings attached to it. It's not based on your works. It's based on everything that Christ did that day on the cross. That's why it's the good news. And so to hear the good news, you have to hear the truth. And that's the reason why we're doing this show today when it comes to homosexuality. Because, you know, just last week we talked about the SBC. And it really seems like the SBC is leaving its conservative roots and is going more towards the social justice culture and is allowing the culture to dictate what is going to be taught in the church. And I understand the SBC is a convention. Each Southern Baptist church is autonomous. But it doesn't seem to be... I don't know. Something just doesn't line up when you have an SBC president and yet you're still stating that each church is autonomous. And when you have a convention, all these Southern Baptist churches go to vote on certain mandates and laws. I think there's a little bit more power there than what most people want to to say that there is. But anyway, so we see the SBC kind of leaning towards the left and hopefully not going that way in breakneck speed. And then now we're seeing the PCA hosting this Revoice conference when it comes to homosexuality. So, yeah, man, I feel like I've been rambling.
No, you're good. You're good. and for people that are not aware of the Revoice conference that's coming up, we both agreed that Tim Chaley's article that he wrote was really good.
Fantastic.
Let me just read this. This is just a glimpse of what the conference is, and this is from Tim Chaley's article. The mission of Revoice is supporting, encouraging, and empowering gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, and other LGBT Christians so they can flourish while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality.
Can I say something right there? There's something that just kind of sticks out that's just so weird to me. And it's not that I have an answer for it. I just find it odd in the wording, along with the rest of the stuff that you're about to read. But
yeah,
while observing the historic, I mean, I don't understand why you even have to have that word there. I mean, why not just say while observing the Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality?
Yeah,
I don't know why historic has to be there. It's just strange. And then my other issue is that now we're labeling it and other LGBT Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the problem with this movement as it's being pushed upon. I mean, it really is being pushed upon us.
Mm-hmm.
But we never said anything about, what about, and I don't want to make a radical jump. So let's talk about Christians who were once thieves before they were regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
We don't call them and other thieving Christians.
Yeah.
Or we don't talk about Christians who might have been addicted to porn. We don't call them porn addicted Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But for some odd reason, when it comes to the LGBT community, now they're getting the label LGBT Christians.
Yeah.
What just happened to Christians? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't really understand why we even have to have these kinds of conferences when, and I studied this numerous times in the last episode, but it was Paul himself, I believe in Galatians, where he stated that, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no master, there is no slave, and yet now we're adding these titles to Christian.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, all Christians struggle.
Yeah.
Labeling your sin that you struggle with to identify yourself,
it's almost like you're softening the sin to eventually bring it to where it's accepted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a recovering alcoholic. Should I start telling everybody, hi, I'm Jeff, I'm an alcoholic Christian?
Hey, nice to meet you, Jeff.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. I mean, we're all sinners.
Yeah. Well, I interrupted you, so I'll let you finish.
No, you're fine, man. No, you're good. But
I'll probably do it again, so.
I'll interrupt away. He says the organizers promised three benefits to those who attend. First is new community, gathering together with other gender and sexual minorities and those who love them and experience a new kind of gospel community. The second is better conversation. Listen to, learn from, and participate in conversations with speakers who bring a nuanced perspective to the table of discussion. And the third is diverse collective. Benefit from, curated presentations on a wide variety of topics related to the LGBT experience and their historic,
there it is again,
Christian sexual ethic.
Yeah. So, and I'm reading, and what you just read, I was reading along with you, and I don't even understand what these even mean.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's almost like postmodern talk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. We're back to, you know, Saturday runs faster than tree.
Yeah.
I look at this, the which one was it? Diverse Collective.
Mm-hmm.
Benefit from curated presentations on a wide variety of topics related to LGBT experience and the historic Christian sexual ethic. A variety of topics related to LGBT experience. For this to be a Christian conference, I would think that we wouldn't necessarily have to go to experience. We could just go to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And it's interesting you said that. I have the Word pulled up.
Right. Imagine that.
Yeah. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor... just stumbled up, man.
Oh, you get it.
I hate when I do that. Revilers nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. I am sorry that I just totally foobarred on that.
Yeah, man. I got you.
For some reason, my eyes were looking at the Word and my brain just went blank. So, yeah, I mean, to me, you know, and anytime homosexuality is brought up within Christianity, people get offended and, oh, you're being mean, this and that. But you got to take it into the Scripture. Where, I mean, it just lists all these different things. Yeah. Homosexuality is just one of them. And so it's like, I mean, I fit into this category because I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't know, man. It just, this whole thing just...
It's really strange and that we're even having to spend time on this to where 15 to 20 years ago, and probably a little bit longer than that, but, you know, this wouldn't have been the issue that it is today.
Yeah.
And so what I find interesting, again, and interesting not in a good way, but we have, someone like Matt Chandler embracing this, endorsing this. But then when we go down and we look at some of the presenters, some of the people that are going to be speaking and what it is that they're going to be talking about, if we so for example, who's the worship leader that's going to be there? What's his name?
Greg Coles.
Okay. And Greg Coles is
he's an author.
Okay.
Let's see. He wrote... One of his books was called Single Gay Christian.
Right.
If you want to talk for a second,
okay.
I'll have to get it pulled back up.
Yeah. So there's another gentleman that's going to be speaking there. His name is Jack Bates. And Jack Bates is a PhD student in historical theology at Wheaton College, focusing on the theology of the early church and its prospects for transforming modern discussions of sexuality, gender, and disability. He identifies as a bisexual, is married to a woman, and has a young son, and he is actively involved in his local Anglican church and in the LGBTQ community in the Chicago area. So here's my issue. This is a Christian event, and yet we have this gentleman that's going to be speaking who claims to be bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's married, has a child, yet bisexual. And look, I'm gonna go to Scripture here too, and I'm gonna read some long verses. But I think this needs to be. this needs to be said, because so often when these verses are read from the Old Testament, what we're told was the reason why Sodom was destroyed was because of they were unwilling to help foreigners. Their hospitality was, well, it just wasn't there. So that's the reason why it was destroyed, because of their lack of hospitality. But I'm going to go to Genesis 19, verse 1. It says, "The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, 'My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way.' They said, 'No, we will spend the night in the town square.' But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them.'" Now, "may know them" is speaking in the sexual manner, that they may know them. And we see this, well, I'll go to Jude 7 here in a second, but "so that we may know them. And Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, 'I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they've come under the shelter of my roof.' But they said, 'Stand back.' And they said, 'This fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them.' Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, 'Have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we're about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it.'" So what we're seeing taking place here is these two angels inside the house of Lot. And what is it these men of the city are trying to do? They're trying to break down the door to rape these two men. With these two angels. And what is interesting is, like I said, so often, you know, what we end up hearing is that the reason why this city was destroyed was because the lack of hospitality that was taking place. But if we go to Jude 7, it says, "Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." So that's the reason this place was destroyed, was because of their sexual immorality and how they pursued these unnatural desires. That's what homosexuality is. It is a unnatural desire. Man was not made this way. Homosexuality did not come into play till after the fall of Adam and Eve. So yes, we were made in the image of God, when it's talking about Adam and Eve. But then once we notice after the fall, it doesn't say in the image of God, it says in the image of Adam. So we are these fallen creatures. So no, homosexuality is not natural, it is unnatural. And look, what so many people I know wouldn't even say, "Well, I was born this way." No, the scripture says otherwise. Mm-hmm. It says otherwise. That's the reason why Sodom was destroyed the way that it was. And now we have this gentleman, Jack Bates, who is going to be speaking, who claims to be bisexual. Mm-hmm. What are we going to learn from this man? I mean, honestly and truly, this conversation that we're going to have, what's going to be learned from him? This bisexual man who goes against the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really quite concerning what is taking place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're probably going to get the same kind of thing from that one of the keynote speakers, Eve Tushnet. She is an openly gay woman who claims to be Catholic. She's an author. So, I mean, it's kind of this Revoice is just going to be basically people boasting about it's okay to be homosexual. You don't have, I mean, do we have anybody coming in from the other side where it's not okay to be homosexual?
I don't think that would work with the conference.
Right. So, I mean, you're not truly being open and forthcoming,
right?
Because it's all one-sided.
Yeah. Let's play the other side here for a moment. Are there churches out there that do not love the sinner when it comes to homosexuality? Do they browbeat them? Do they hate them? Do they make them feel as if they shouldn't exist? Absolutely. You have a so-called church like Westboro Baptist.
Terrible.
I mean, that's not a church. They're not Christians. And yet this is what so many people think of if they're struggling with this sin. That's the church that pops in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a loving church. You know what they do when a homosexual comes to the door? They come inside. And if the scripture verses are holding up that truth for that day when it comes to homosexuality, you preach and teach it.
Uh-huh.
But you do it lovingly because you want this person to hear the truth. You want this person to hear about the Lord and Savior who went to the cross and died for that sin if they come to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's loving. That's how you love someone, is to tell them the truth. We use this example all the time. You know, my 4-year-old niece might like playing with the blender. You know, turns it on, takes the lid off, and maybe she likes to act like she's sticking her hand in it. But she may enjoy it all she wants, but I'm not going to let her do it.
Right.
I'm going to say, hey, stupid, quit doing that. You know? I mean, you're going to pull out a nub. It's going to just dice. I mean, you know, those things cut through ice. Your bones aren't anything like that. So, but you're not going to let them, I'm not going to let her play with the blender wide open.
Right.
Because it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And look, that's just talking about maybe losing a finger or a hand or something. What we're talking about here is eternal damnation.
Yes.
Again, so how loving can we be if we don't share the truth?
Mm-hmm. Now, you've read more into this than I have, or you've read more on this than I have. Are they bringing in transgender talk to this conference?
You know, I haven't seen anything on that. I really think what the church is probably doing, and I'm not, look, this may end up, I'm trying to choose my words wisely here. I don't want to say this may just blow over because it's already been brought up and the PCA has already brought it in, so it's concerning either way. And it, maybe what I should say is this may not be that big of a deal for right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the only way, if conservative churches are looking to somehow start bringing this sin to be accepted in the church, is they got to bring it in one step at a time. So I don't think they could bring in homosexuality and transgenders at the same time.
Yeah.
I think what they would probably end up doing is copying what the world did. And if you notice, as soon as homosexuality, as soon as that was legal for them to be married, then what happened? It was almost like that was completely forgotten and transgenderism just pounced behind it. So it almost seems like the same tactic is being brought into the conservative denominations, to where we'll slowly bring in the homosexual thing, and then once that's brought in, and if it's becoming accepted, as soon as that acceptance happens, then the transgender thing will be dropped on top of it.
Yeah.
That's just kind of what we've seen in the past, and I wouldn't be surprised, because that's what the church does. They embrace the culture instead of the word. And I can see them mimicking that same game plan.
But what's sad is we've already got churches that have transgender ministers.
Yep.
And homosexual ministers.
Yeah, and I think the difference is, so with those churches, those are the liberal churches anyway, so no one was really
surprised
by it. Mm. But if you get a church like the PCA or another, say even the SBC, these last conservative denominations,
mm-hmm.
If it starts happening inside those churches, then, you know, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's scary. And again, I would encourage everybody to go and do some research on this Revoice. Mm-hmm. That is popping up. No, I've got to apologize for something else, because I said this Preston Sprinkle, the guy that's, I think, kind of helping head all this up.
Yeah.
I think I said that he confessed to be gay, but he's not. He's married, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe he's, let me make sure. Yeah, Preston is a biblical scholar, an international speaker, and a New York Times bestselling author who has written numerous books, including People to Be Loved, Why Homosexuality is Not Just an Issue, and Living in a Gray World, A Christian Teen's Guide to Homosexuality. He also served as general editor for the new Two Views on Homosexuality. A lot of gender, faith, sexuality stuff. He and his wife, Chris, and their four children live in Boise, Idaho. So, yeah. So, he is married. He is married. But apparently, this is a big deal to him. Okay, I've got a video, and I'm going to go ahead and say this from the get-go. If the seven people that are listening, if you have children in your car, man, I'm going to do my best. I couldn't find an edited clip of this, but I'm going to do my best to try and bleep out the words that I can, and it's primarily in the very beginning. But this is just an example of where the conservative churches could end up going if we do not stand behind the word and, you know, not afraid to speak the truth. So let me pull this video up here. I had it up and now I don't see it. Let me play this other video first. It's twin boys. Now there's only one of them here, but this has 147,000 views, and it's called "Can You Be Gay and Go to Church?" It's like 9 minutes long. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but again, this is one of the twins talking about being gay and going to church, and they're both professing gay. So, All right, so here it is.
Thought it would be. Hey guys, it is Aaron here, and Austin is not with me today because he is with his boyfriend, so I thought it would be the perfect time for me to talk about something that's been really heavy on my heart the past week. I just feel like it's something important to talk about. I don't think we've ever really talked about religion or church or God on our channel, which I don't really understand because it's such a big part of Austin and I's life. And I just think it's so important, especially in the LGBTQ community, to talk about this because there's so many people out there that struggle with it every single day. And I know as a young person, I would have been so excited to stumble upon somebody that.
I need to say something right here. We almost hear this in every interview when it comes to someone who is homosexual. They say they struggle with this. There's a reason for that struggle, and it's not the culture not accepting them. It's because they know that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Romans already tells us that we suppress the truth about God, and we do the same thing when it comes to this, and that there's a reason why something bothers you. There's a reason why something agitates you. It puts this burden upon you. It's because your conscience is telling you otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us to be made in the image of God, which we were, you know, Adam and Eve made the image of God. Then it says after the fall, you know, made in the image of Adam when it talks about his son. So we are fallen creatures, but that image is still there. We still bear that image. However, it has been corrupted with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it's because of that sin nature that you have these feelings for the same sex. Yet that struggle is also there because you know that what you're doing is against God and the order in which he created husband and wife. So, okay, we'll let this play a little bit longer.
Was talking about church and that was open about their sexuality. But before I get started, I just want to say that I'm not trying to make you believe what I believe. All I'm trying to do with this video is get the conversation started about it, and thus bringing me to, can you be gay and go to church? Let's chat about it. So before I jump into my story, I could sit here and dissect scriptures. I could sit here and compare now to then and how we're different as a society now than we were back in the day of the Bible.
Okay, he just said that he could sit here and cite scripture and how the times have changed from when the Bible was written then during that time to the culture in which we're living in today. So my question is this, if you can do that, why not do it? I mean, you're talking about going to church. You're talking about being gay and going to church. Well, what are we talking about then? We're talking about the authoritative word of God. So if you can dissect it and you can lay it out in a biblical manner to where it's okay for you to be a practicing homosexual and be a part of the church body, be a part of ones who follow God's word, and yet here you are denying the very commands, the very words of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you said you can break it down. Well, that should be your starting point then. But see, this is the problem. When someone says that, they're either lying because they can't do it, or they're lying because they know they can't do it.
Right. You know, that reminds me of people like Tavner Smith and Joel Osteen, where it's like, they'll say, well, you know, this is in the scripture, but I don't have time to read it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be your backbone,
right,
of your fight, debate, whatever it is. I mean, the scripture should be the forefront. But just like with false teachers, these guys want to, oh, well, you know, there's so much scripture that backs up that homosexuality is okay. Yeah. Where?
Yeah, so let me do something that he's not willing to do. I'm going to go to Romans 1:26-27.
How dare you?
I know, right?
God.
So here's what the pushback is when it comes to this, when it talks about homosexuality in the Bible, when it talks about Romans 1, what a lot of them will end up saying is that they're talking about the male temple prostitutes sleeping with other males. What it's not talking about, though, is a monogamous relationship between the same sex. The reason why it doesn't say that is because that's not the context in which it is written. Look what it says here, Romans 1:26-27. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. I'm going to continue. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So we start out with homosexuality, the dishonorable passions, men committing shameless acts against one another. And then it goes into the other sins that we are guilty of. Yeah, but see, that's the beautiful thing. When you repent, when you are a true Christian, a true believer, you turn from those sins. That's what it's talking about. And for him to sit there and make this claim that there's plenty of scripture verses that's going to back his ideology or his faith, well, he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not calling anybody a liar just to call him a liar. I'm calling him a liar because he's lying.
Yeah.
So I'll let him continue just a little bit more.
How things just don't compare and blah, blah, blah. But I think everybody has their own interpretation of scriptures in the Bible or whatever book that you believe in. And I think that's when we run into problems because we're all trying to convince each other that we're...
I just want to say something right there.
Yep.
Everybody has their own interpretation of the Bible. That's not true. The people that claim that are the ones that misinterpret the Bible and contort the word to back up their sin and make it okay.
Yeah.
there's not multiple interpretations of Scripture.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I at the same time, yes, denominations disagree on things, but you're right. When it comes to interpretation, there is a correct and proper way of doing that. And if you keep the Scripture verses in context with the story that has taken place during that time, you can pull out the proper interpretation. Mm-hmm. But let me say something else when it comes to can you be gay and go to church? So again, what a lot of people end up interpreting with the Scripture verses that I just read is, you know, it comes to male temple prostitutes, female temple prostitutes engaging in sex with the same sex. And again, I apologize for maybe some of the content here, but it's just what it is. But look at what happens when someone's regenerated, when this lifestyle is something they can no longer do because they understand the holiness of God. They understand that His word is true and profitable to the believer. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. It says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of our God." Now, what's he talking about? He's saying, yes, they were gay men and women during that time. But because of what God did by regenerating their hearts, by giving them the faith to believe in what Christ did that day on the cross for them, "and such were some of you," they are no longer. Does that mean that they're not going to struggle every now and then with something popping in their head, a thought, a process? Absolutely. But you do not have to act on it, because we do believe, and this is going to be shocking, we do believe that the faith that God gives you can crush the sin in which you struggle with. I know. Shame on me for saying that. All right. So I'm going to let him go on. Let him go on just a little bit more.
Hey, this is what's right. But I think at the core of it, we're all just trying to get closer to God. And we're all just trying to understand that greater being, or that thing in life that's greater than all of us. And I think if we focus on that, things would be a lot more peaceful. But I know that's not the case, and I know there's gonna be a lot of comments that talk about Scriptures, but I just wanted to say that before I get started, that we all have different interpretations of it, and whatever yours is, that is your belief. So I am from Ohio, and I grew up in the church. It was such a huge part of my life, and I went to church every Sunday, I went to church every Wednesday, I was in youth group, I was actually on the worship team, I sang on it. My mom actually worked at the church at one point, so like a lot of my days were spent.
Okay. I think what he's saying is describing a lot of the standard so-called Christian's life, them growing up in the church. It was part of their culture, but it doesn't seem like this young man was actually taught the Scripture. I don't know anything about him, but I would almost go out on a limb and say that he probably grew up in a church that was all topical sermons. That his youth group experience was a lot of pizza, a lot of Coke and Pepsi products, and a lot of stupid games like ugliest sweater contest during Christmas time. Whatever other stupid games they end up playing that watered down the true word of God. If I had to say, that's what he grew up in. And then that's not church. That's not making disciples. You know, preaching and teaching the word without the entertainment would probably be a great place to start. But for some odd reason, we have to think anywhere we go, we have to be entertained.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. You know, spin some plates. Hey, let's throw water balloons at each other. And then we'll go sit down and talk about a serious subject, you know, about God. Mm-hmm. While you're in high school and, you know, you're throwing water balloons at one another, and then you go and you hear about God, and if this girl you're attracted to was just smashed with a water balloon, her hair's wet, and you know you're having to sit across from her and you can't think straight because you think she looks really pretty with wet hair, and yet you're going to try and listen to the word of God.
Yeah,
it's just stupid.
Yeah,
it's just stupid. But this is what I got. I got a feeling this is the kind of church that these two guys grew up in, and that's why that's where they are today.
Yeah, and you notice that he said we're all. I can't quote him, but he was talking about getting closer to God.
Yeah, yeah. How do you do that?
The word.
Yeah, imagine that, right?
But instead, he goes the complete opposite direction.
Yep, yep. I'm going to tell you about my experiences and how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just a little bit more.
Going to church, and it became such a big part of my life that I just, like, I got so into it. And then as I got older and started to realize that I'm gay, that's when I started to run into a lot of problems. Because the church that I went to was teaching me that I wasn't allowed to be gay. I wasn't allowed to think these thoughts. Everything that I was thinking was a sin. It was wrong. At the church I went
to. All right. So apparently they got the gay part right when they were teaching something, because he heard this.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? It's funny how the word pricks your heart. How your conscience starts to weigh upon you when you start hearing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he do?
Leaves that church.
Yeah, he starts, I think they end up moving to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is what one does when they suppress the truth, that when they hear it, they have to run from it because, again, it starts weighing upon them. We'll let this go a little bit further.
It was like, there was like a rule book, kind of. It was like, this is the right way to live, and this is the wrong way to live. This is of the world, this is of the church. And if you don't follow these rules and you don't follow what God says you're supposed to do, you're not going to make it to heaven. And in some ways, I feel like that pushed me deeper into the closet because I was so ashamed and scared of my feelings. I was angry. I was confused. I felt like everything that I was taught all my life was a lie, because I know and I knew so deep in my heart and as in my full being that I am gay. I was born this way. It's who I am. And I felt like God created me that way, but everybody else was telling me that I was.
Nope. Yeah, no, sir. God did not create you that way. You are that way because you are a sinner.
And God does not sin.
Yeah, there's no mistake on God's end. This is on you. You went deeper in the closet because you were being convicted by the word. Now, again, I still stand by what I said earlier, that I just got a feeling this guy came from a church that probably didn't elaborate on the scripture when it comes to homosexuality. I'm not sure if it was kind of like a Westboro Baptist type or what the case may be. But either way, he heard the truth, and he started to go into himself. And then he comes out and says that, I know God made me this way. So your knowing is more important than what the scripture says.
Yeah.
So,
and this is all based on feelings, too, because yep. Remember, he mentioned he felt it on his heart.
Yeah, he felt it. He felt it. Too bad that heart that you have is in need of being regenerated. Because you have a heart of stone as a in your fallen state as a sinner. It's God who turns that into a heart of flesh. And, you know, from the fruit that you are laying before us, it's clear that you have not been regenerated because you love your sin more than you do the word of God. And again, I know this sounds like I'm coming down hard on this young lad, but I'm not doing it out of hate. I'm not doing it out of spite. You know, I'm doing it because this is an example that's being set before the kids today.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude has been applauded all over the internet for this 9-minute rambling that is supported by no truth or fact whatsoever.
Nope.
It's all about emotions and experience.
Mm-hmm.
So let me fast forward it just a little bit, and we'll leave this guy here in a second, and I'll jump to another video. All right, just a few more moments. Jumping ahead.
He was trying to get me to understand, and I was finally able to freely think for myself and think about God in my own way and in my own interpretation of what God is and who he is and his love for me and everything. And I remember spending a lot of time just walking down the street, just listening to like worship music and everything. And I finally felt like my face started to grow again. My modeling agent at the time, he's gay as well, and he was going to this church, and he was like, you should come with me. And so I went with him and like some other guys from our agency, and it was the first time in my life that I went into a church and I felt welcomed. And it was like this feeling that I have never felt in my entire life. I felt this like freedom to be exactly who I am. I felt like I was like, I don't know, it was weird. It was such a weird and different feeling, but also the best feeling that I've ever felt. They said at the beginning of service, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, whatever you believe in, you don't even have to believe what we believe, but this place is a place for all of you to come together and just go after God in your own way and pursue him and feel welcome and love.
Ugh.
Yeah. That just kind of makes me sick to my stomach that you have such a weakling behind the pulpit to where they cannot quote the word of God, stand behind the word of God, but instead bow down to the sinful nature of man to make the sinful man feel better about himself, to elevate the sinful man, to glorify the sinful man, and to not glorify the holy, righteous, merciful God who sent his son to die on a bloody, horrendous death to pay the sin debt of all those who come to believe in him. In this 10-minute video that...
Yeah.
I had to be careful with my wording. This young man put out there... This is how the world thinks. This is the culture that your children are being exposed to. This is what is being taught in the schools. Is everything is based more on feelings than on facts.
Yeah.
And, so it's horrendous, man.
Yeah. Hey, I was scrolling through on that on the Revoice website.
Yep.
I wanted to read this. This is. Hey,
that was my bad. Did you hear that?
Lord?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
But it's one of the topics that will be talked about.
Okay.
And it's titled Redeeming Queer Culture and Adventure. The presenter is Grant Hartley, and here is what the description is. For the sexual minority seeking to submit his or her life fully to Christ and to the historic Christian sexual ethic, queer culture presents a bit of a dilemma. Rather than combining or combing through and analyzing to find which parts are to be rejected, to be redeemed, or to be received with joy, and they put Acts 17:16-34 next to that. Christians have often discarded the virtues of queer culture along with the vices which leaves culturally connected Christian sexual minorities torn between two cultures, two histories, and two communities. So questions that have until now been largely unanswered remain. What does queer culture what does queer culture and specifically queer literature and theory have to offer us who follow Christ? What queer treasure, honor, and glory will be brought into the New Jerusalem at the end of time?
Wow.
I feel like I just read jumbles of words. Is that what it sounded like?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Because it totally felt like it.
Well, again, it's just this postmodern world that we're living in to where as long as words go together and form a sentence, then there you go.
It's beautiful.
You can make it say what you want it to say because definitions that actually belong to words are no longer used anymore, and we can just change what it is that word actually means, and we do it continuously. Yeah.
I mean, and dude, what's crazy on this website is there's all kinds of that stuff. Like, everything has a little description, like rekindling hope as a sexual minority in the church, race, sexuality, and intersectionality, a panel discussion. I mean, it's just all kinds of this crazy stuff. Sexual Minorities and Ministry, How to Be a Straight Ally. So yeah. Now they're wanting to teach us, the straight people, how to be an ally with a homosexual. Look, we don't hate homosexuals.
Yeah. We love them enough to tell the truth. So here's what's, it's kind of weird, is that, what do you know what the percentage of the gay population is? Is it like 2%?
I think so.
And the transgender population is less than 1?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like 0.8.
Okay. And so this minority is driving the culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now this minority, because the church doesn't understand that we're not to be like the world. And yet now, not only is the minority driving the world, now the minority is starting to drive the church.
Mm-hmm.
As if these questions aren't answered throughout the scripture, we have to have conferences mm-hmm. on them now.
Yep. It's all entitlement, man. Everything in the world has come down to entitlement. We are entitled.
We are a bunch of narcissists is what we are. It's always about me, me, me.
Yep.
So you have to bow down to the way that I feel. You have to bow down to how it is that I view life. You know, facts and science don't matter.
Yeah.
The word of God definitely doesn't matter, yet we're going to hide behind it saying that we are Christian, yet we don't follow his teachings. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what I was going to play earlier, and man, I'm going to do my best to try and bleep this out, but I hope I'm pronouncing the town right. It's Bothell. That's close as I can get. Bothell, Washington. And it says, a profanity-speaking preacher who has lost hundreds in his congregation over his decision to allow open homosexuals to serve in leadership positions, and who says he doesn't care what the Bible has to say on the issue, is featured in a new online video that has received over 1 million views in less than a week.
Wow.
Ryan Meeks is the founder of Eastlake Community Church in Bothell, Washington.
Haven't we mentioned him before? That name sounds really familiar.
I don't know. Which identifies itself as an inclusive Christian community where faith is less about a story to be believed as it is a life to be lived. In 2015, Meeks announced that he believed a move of the Spirit caused him to rethink how he had handled the issue of homosexuality. In the April 8th video released by Upworthy, Meeks, amid clips of profanity usage, noted that he used to shy away from the topic. When it came to the conversation around the LGBT community and church policy, or what does the Bible say about homosexuality, I always felt awkward about it. I didn't want to bring it up, he explained. I felt like I needed to scare people into believing the right thing because the God who loves them is going to send most of human history to hell, Meeks said. That's the good news? Sounds pretty, and he used some curse word here because it bleeped it out. And then he outlined that when one of the members of the Eastlake worship team came out as a lesbian and feared that she would consequently lose the right to serve, he questioned how he had come across to others. My heart broke, and I just realized I had been a coward for too long. No, Ryan, you were standing behind the word of God. Now you are a coward because you're cowering down to the culture. You're allowing man to make the standards of what righteousness truly is, instead of allowing the only righteousness that we know, and that is from the Holy of Holies, and that's God himself, the perfection. And there's my malware crusher. Okay. So again, look, guys, I'm going to do the best I can. If you have young ones in the car, or if you just despise cursing, then you may want to fast forward a little bit, because I believe this section lasts about 30 or 35 seconds. But again, I'm going to try and do my best to mute this as we go. Okay, here we go. Let me start this from the beginning. And bear with me. I'm apologizing in advance.
Jesus is so ass. He was like the king of calling out bullshit. People, hey, you can't talk to Samaritans. Jesus is like, well.
I was brought up in a system, evangelical Christianity, where this was the cardinal sin. You don't do this.
But Jesus, they're categorically unclean, and our holy book tells us so. It's like, well, talk to a woman Samaritan in broad daylight at the well.
My name is Ryan from Eastlake Community Church, and this is the time we changed our mind. We started in my house. For the first couple years, things were moving so fast, and we were growing by hundreds of people a week. When it came to the conversation around the LGBT community and church policy, or what does the Bible say about homosexuality, I always felt awkward about it. I didn't want to bring it up. I felt like I needed to scare people into believing the right thing, because the God who loves them is going to send most of human history to hell. Like, that's the good news. Sounds pretty.
My name's Christina Cobb, and I do music here at Eastlake Church. Ayla brought up a question of what have you never told
so
the music here at Eastlake Church?
Hang on 1 second. All right, so it says here, this young lady that's talking right now, her name is Christina, and it says Christina and her best friend Ayla were a big part of the Eastlake family from the church's beginning.
Ayla brought up a question of what have you never told anyone? And I immediately shut down. What the answer was for me was that I've had attractions to the same sex.
It said, it's popping up words on the screen, it says she was scared because she knew the public stance of the church. And it says, even though they were falling in love, they hid their relationship. So this female singer and her best friend were same-sex females. They were falling in love with each other, yet they felt like they had to hide their relationship from the church.
I just couldn't take it anymore. I told Ayla that we need to tell someone. I don't know what's going to happen. I might lose my job.
So it says here, Christina and Ayla finally decided it was time to tell the truth about their feelings for one another.
And I was just really so fearful. I didn't need to be, though. Luckily, some people, their fears make sense.
She pulled me aside and was like, hey, I need to tell you that I'm...
It just shows the congregation taking the Lord's Supper. So... And now on the screen, maybe one day Jeff and I will be able to do this live and you can see the videos that we're seeing instead of hearing me trying to describe it. But on screen now, it has Christina and Ayla like in a very close embrace with one another.
Meeting Ayla, I was like, that's amazing. How wonderful, beautiful. But she was crying. And eventually I realized she was saying, look, I'm assuming this is my last day working here. And that moment of realizing that I had been a part of a system who had someone who I loved that much, terrified that, relationship aside, this was a categorical, you're out. And my heart broke, and I just realized I had been a coward for too long.
So now it says Ryan announced, that Ryan being the pastor, after this conversation he had with Christina and Ayla, said Ryan announced that Eastlake would be moving forward as an open and affirming church.
I knew his name sounded familiar. I'd read about him a little while back. He had cancer, and throughout his treatments and stuff, like, man, all of his sermons are like off the wall crazy. I mean, it's like I skimmed through some of them, and he talks like that all the time,
right?
Like with language and just I don't know. I just Googled him while that was playing, and there was somebody that wrote a response blog to that video, and he's got a good point on here, if y'all don't mind me reading it real quick. It says, by queer friendly, you were tickling the ears of
Sorry.
Hello. hello. Nobody's there.
It was the blogger calling.
That's right. Anyway, by queer friendly, you are tickling the ears of practicing homosexuals so that they do not feel convicted, i.e. feel guilty, shame, or be anxious to repent for their homosexual acts, because we are all sinners. As you have said before, it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. This is a huge problem if this is your motive, because you are enabling practicing homosexuals to continue in their idolatry by continuing to find their identity and their sexuality and be led by their flesh.
Wow.
That dude pretty much summed it up right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he may believe that it was, you know, the Holy Spirit that convicted him to go this way, but that's not the Holy Spirit. That would be the exact opposite. That would be something demonic if that's actually true, because the Holy Spirit's not going to contradict the Word of God. Mm-mm. The only problem is this guy doesn't believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, so he can contradict himself all he wants. But, yeah, man, this dude's a coward. He's bowing down to the culture instead of telling this young lady that was playing in the worship band, hey, look, we've got to sit down. We've got to talk about this. This isn't biblical, these feelings that you're having. And I know it seems real, and it may even be real, but this isn't what God wants. This isn't what God has created. You're just openly rebelling against him.
How can you be a minister and say that you do not care what the Bible says?
Yeah, I think you just answered it right there. You can't be. So this man's not a minister.
No.
I don't know. He may have elders at the church, but this isn't even a church, because it's not even set up. There's no reason why a man like this should be pastoring. I really think anytime you have a pastor, so-called pastor, come out and make these radical statements when it comes to being a gay-affirming church or something along those lines, you just need to quit calling yourself a pastor and a church, because you're not even lining up with God's word.
No.
And that's what you're proclaiming, that you're a pastor who preaches and teaches the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if you're not even doing that, then why would you even want to hold that title pastor? Why would you even want to call your congregation a church? Because you're preaching against it.
Yeah.
It's messed up, man. It's messed up. Here, there's a few more minutes left. Maybe.
Frankly, I thought it would kill the church immediately.
You guys get death threats? That's just me? Okay. Lucky me.
I took so many sit-down meetings where people with their open Bible be like, At some points, though, I just had to look at them and go, I can tell this is hard on you. Like, I don't have a problem with anyone in the LGBT community. And in fact, I think we've all remained perpetually immature.
Wow.
Yeah, so look, it's not having a problem. It's not you having a problem with the LGBT community. It's what God says is a sin and what's not a sin. So, I don't care if you have a problem with it or not. At the end of the day, it's God's word.
Right.
And that's who you better be concerned with.
Yeah.
I could care less let me correct this. Pastors should care less what the culture thinks of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I'm not meaning that, you know, the pastors should be going out and saying things just to stir stuff up. That's not what I mean. I mean pastors who are true pastors, who preach the word of God, stand behind what it says, should care less what the culture thinks about them, because all they're doing is preaching and teaching the truth. The pastor should care more about what God thinks about them, and by what it is that God is hearing when those preachers are teaching. When you start worrying about the culture, and when you start bending God's word to bow down to the culture, then it's time for you to step down from the pulpit, because you're no longer doing the job in which you are required to do when it comes to preaching and teaching. And again, I'll say it, Ryan Meeks is he's not a preacher, he's not a teacher, he's not a pastor. He is a coward who won't stand behind the word, who thinks that his own thoughts, his own feelings outrank God's word. And we see this, and again, I'm not trying to be mean, because it's in all of us, because we're all sinners. But this is what we see with someone in the LGBT community who's fighting to be able to lead a church, to attend and be a member of a church while still staying in that lifestyle, is that your thoughts and your feelings outweigh the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts, your feelings outweigh what Christ did on the cross for those who sin. I mean, for those who believe in him, because he took those sins upon himself. And, you know, you're acting just like your original parents, Adam and Eve, who took that piece of fruit because they thought they could be God. And this is where it all starts. It's from this sinful, self-righteous, self-absorbed lifestyle that we want, because it's all about me, 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 me. And when you have to look outside yourself to understand that you need a Savior to rescue you, that you can't do it, that's eye-opening. And you couldn't get there without God first rescuing you. And then once that takes place and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're seeing the words for the first time as truth, it changes everything. And what this guy is saying, this Ryan Meeks, and then what the twin was saying before that, you see where they are, and they're in their self-absorption. And they're bowing down to the culture. That's not brave. That's just being a coward.
Go ahead.
It says, since the announcement, hundreds of people have left the church.
Oh, really?
Have left his church, but it's still big.
Yeah, he's a mega church.
It says Eastlake lost $2.8 million in 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah. They laid off staff and closed their campuses. So that's how big they were. They had campuses. Yeah. 2 weeks after this video was shot, Christina was laid off. But Ryan Meeks, the pastor, still stands by his decision.
Hell is knowing your truth and lacking the courage to live it. I don't care if the Bible says gay people suck. The Bible is pro-slavery, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It Wrong. Doesn't have a very great view of women leading and teaching.
You know, see, what he's meaning to say there is it doesn't have my view.
Yes.
And when it talks about pro-slavery, but, you know, there were points in time, especially in the Old Testament, when you're talking about the Jews, that would be one of the ways that they would pay off a debt.
Yeah.
And they would consider the person they were paying off to be their master, and then they're the slave. And many of them would do that for 7 years to pay off the money that they owed them, or they'd work it off in some way, shape, or form. And look, and then you have some that, yeah, there were slaves,
mm-hmm.
and there were masters. And then that's exactly what they were. But in Christ, that's what's so important for us to understand. And that's why Jesus wasn't marching up and down the street waving signs being a social justice warrior, because he knew these sins would be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of what God did to those people by rescuing them that know, regardless of the situation that they're in, they know that this isn't it. That the good news is still upon them, even though they may be living a hellacious life. But what's ahead of them, this new heaven and new earth that is going to be formed and created for them once Christ returns for his children, far outweighs than this small amount of time that we are here on this sinful earth in which we have created.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's the things I disagree with about the Bible.
If you want to go further on the journey.
Okay, it says here Eastlake uses scripture as a framework, not a rule book. And what he just said earlier, you know, what did he say, that homosexuals suck? I don't care if the Bible said homosexuals suck.
Yeah.
First, it's not going to say that. But second, that just goes to show how you disregard the scripture.
Yeah.
Like, again, you're not even qualified to be a pastor.
you have some unloading to do.
And we've decided it fell from the sky, and now we got to run it, like a manual for how to run the earth, how to legislate morality, and that's not what it is. If we...
He said the Bible, you know, we decided that it fell from the sky. No, we know how it came together. I mean, it was God using men. That was the means in which he used to put this holy book together. It didn't fall from the sky.
What drugs is this dude on?
I don't know.
To consult an ancient book to know what to do when a human being is in front of us, I think we're screwed already.
I can't handle any more of this, but it says an example of how a faith community can evolve and love people as they are. Yeah, that's not evolving. They're actually devolving. They're going back into their sinful state. This church is dragging them there because of what they're teaching and preaching. And it's really not dragging them there. It's what these people want to hear. God has just put a place out there that they can have their ears tickled.
Big time.
Yeah, man. Big time. And I hope this hasn't come across as gay bashing, because that wasn't our intent. Our intent was that, you know, our emotions and feelings, yes, at times they are real. And man, there are other times where they are deceiving. The only thing that's real is if you're a true believer, is the scripture and what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this. I'm a sinner. Jeff's a saint, but I mean, technically we're both saints in Christ.
I don't sin anymore.
Right. So, but we still struggle with sin. The difference is, and I'm not saying this about us, but I'm saying this about the Christian lifestyle. Once the Holy Spirit is dwelling within, once God's regenerated your heart, once you believe what Christ did that day on the cross, once those things take place, when you repent, it actually means to turn from, to make a change. You want to quit. You want to despise what it is, that sin that you are struggling with. You don't find comfort in that sin as a true believer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the warning that's being shot across the bow when we're talking to homosexuals. It's like, nah, if you're a true believer, you're going to start to despise that lifestyle. You're not going to want anything to do with it, not because of you, but because of what God has done in you. You now want to love the things that God loves, and you want to despise the thing that God despises. And you know what? That's going to be killing your sin daily. And this isn't to say that with what Christ has done, that you can't kill that sin. I mean, you can kill that sin. It can be wiped out, done away with. Is that going to happen for everyone? No, there will probably still be days where you struggle with it in the flesh. But you're not going to live in it. You're not going to, you know, say someone who claims to be a Christian, that's a male, isn't going to be able to live with their boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And be a Christian. It just doesn't work. I say the same thing with heterosexuals. If you love Christ and you claim Christ, you're not going to be able to live with that opposite sex without being married, because you're disobeying God. So I'm not perfect. Again, I say this time and time again, I'm a sinner, but I'm also a man that believes God's word. And if I love my neighbor, whether they're a Muslim, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Hindu, whether they're gay, then I'm going to tell them the truth, because that's out of love. And what they do with that truth, that's not on me. That's how they hear it. The truth is going to do whatever God wants it to do. It's going to do one of two things. It's going to regenerate them, or it's going to harden their heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not God, so I don't know. But God did say, go out into the world and make disciples. And how do you make disciples? You tell them the truth, even if it means them hating you for it. So we do this out of love, not hate. We do not want you to be deceived by these false teachers, by these, you know, internet vloggers that get thousands of hits, something that we will never see in our lifetime. But we just want to make sure the truth is out there. And you may hate us for it, but like I said, we're not going to be cowards. We're going to stand behind the word of God. So that's probably about all I got to say.
I don't know if there's anything else to say. I mean, that pretty much, like, nails it. I'm sorry. I was just taking a moment of silence to just... This was a rough episode for me, man. I'm not going to lie. I mean, hearing what Ryan Meeks just said just, like, really felt like a punch square in the face, man.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to end this, man.
All right.
You guys, if you want to reach out to us, hit us up on Facebook at Sonic Reformation. You can contact us at sonicreformation@gmail.com. And I'm going to go pray, dude. This is,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
Hey, let me say this. And again, when we present this like we do, it's so that the gospel can be heard, the good news can be heard, that, that to know that this lifestyle or whatever it is that you've embraced, if it's sinful, then know that there's still hope because of what Christ did that day on the cross,
mm-hmm.
That those sins can be wiped away, that you don't have to stay in this relationship, in this lifestyle that is absolutely damning. There's good news and there's hope, and it's what Christ did for you. So,
amen.
There you go.
Amen. Okay, everybody, until next time, take care.